Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
We're in the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. On March 11th, 1974, Japanese Lieutenant Hiro Onoda, a World War II holdout for nearly 30 years, emerged from the Philippine jungles. The 52-year-old soldier told Japanese newsmen that he had not come out before because, quote, "I had not received an order." Onoda met with searchers briefly, and then he returned to his hideout to retrieve his samurai sword. In Tokyo, Onoda's parents, in their 80s, burst into tears when they learned that their son had been found. Onoda's last order was to keep up guerrilla warfare, and word had never reached him that the war was over. Can you imagine fighting a war for 30 years that was over? Hiding out, on the guard, struggling, the sacrifices for 30 years? And the war was over. What a waste. What a waste of time. What a waste of energy. What a waste of resources. What a waste of effort. What a waste of a life fighting a war. And it was already won. And you know what? What's sad is there are many, far too many Christians today doing the exact same thing. They are wasting time, energy, resources. They're wasting their life virtually fighting a war that's already over because Jesus won the war. When he was on the cross, he said three words: "It is finished." Tetelestai. It's already been won. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray that you would cause your word, your truth, to permeate into our minds and down into our hearts today in a new and dynamic way. Lord, that we would come to know the power of your resurrection, the glory of your sacrifice, that we would come to know, Lord, who we are in you. Lord, that we would come to understand more clearly, more deeply, more profoundly, Lord, what you've done for us at the cross. And so, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, to hear your voice, to really see, Lord, today from your precious word, these spiritual truths, as we talk about, Lord, the crucified life, what it means to be crucified with Christ. Lord, I pray that you would not only let us see, not only help us to hear, but also, Lord, that you would begin the transformation process anew, fresh, different in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've been talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. It says, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the law of the flesh, rather, are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, flesh selfish ambitions, rather, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that they who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, I want you to pay particular attention this morning to verse 24. We talked about the works of the flesh. We've talked about the nine fruit of the Spirit. Let's look at verse 24. It says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions. Let's say that together. Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So here's the thing. We've talked about, we've done a 12-part series on the fruit of the Spirit. I thought it was going to be 2-part. I did. I really did. Then I thought, well, maybe 3. Do you know how this is, Wes? So how long are you spending in Romans? Yeah. Okay. You get it. So here I am. I'm doing this fruit of the Spirit. I never even heard a sermon on the fruit of the Spirit, let alone a series on the fruit of the Spirit. But I thought, you know, I could do 2 parts on that. That would be pretty cool. So we talked about the ground, the preparation of the soil. Remember, we talked about 4 types of soil. Then we did 9 messages, 1 for each of the 9 fruit of the Spirit. And now we're coming right here to this last part. Here's the thing. If we don't get this part, verse 24, coming down into our mind, down into our heart, the work that the gardener of the garden of our heart is wanting to do to cultivate spiritual fruit in our lives is going to be hindered. It's going to be stymied. It's going to be prevented because we don't get this aspect of our identification in Christ and with Christ. So this is really, really important. Now, there was a custom in Rome, the way they kind of did things, that when someone was convicted of a crime, that they wrote a certificate of debt. Okay, this was his debt that he owed to the Roman Empire and to society. He had to pay this debt, whatever it was. It could be months, weeks, years in jail serving this debt, or whatever, hard labor, or whatever the punishment was. Here's your crime, here's your debt. It was on the certificate of debt. So if he was thrown into jail, they would nail this to the jail door, and it would demonstrate and display, here is a prisoner, he's serving his debt to society, to Rome, and he's serving it inside that cell beyond the door. When his sentence was over, they would take the certificate of debt and they would take it before a judge, have it notarized, and they would write across the certificate of debt one word, tetelestai, which means paid in full. You might remember Jesus. That's what he spoke on the cross when he said, it's finished, it's paid in full. Tetelestai, one word, and they got it when those that were at the cross. They understood it because they understood all of this that was very familiar to them in the culture. Now, if someone committed a crime that was a capital offense deserving of death, they would take the certificate of death and they would nail it above their head as they crucified them, killing them. We're familiar with that because that's what happened when Jesus was crucified. Remember, Pilate said, you've committed treason against Caesar. You said that you are the king of the Jews. And so they had posted over his head, this is the king of the Jews, in 3 different languages. So that was his crime, so to speak. And he was paying the debt of his crime, which was crucifixion or death. So when you were a Roman citizen or even a traveler through Rome and you passed by these people that were being crucified, you'd want to look, wouldn't you? What did they do? to deserve that. So you'd be looking there at these notices above their heads on the cross. You go, I don't want to do that because that's what's going to happen to me. If I do that, I don't want to do that because that's what's going to happen to me. I don't want to do that because that's what's going to happen to me. The certificate of death. So when Christ was crucified, he paid our debt. He was crucified for our sins. Your sins, my sins. He paid the penalty. So in Romans chapter 6, verse 6, the Apostle Paul says this, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him or with Christ, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. So that we can walk in newness of life. We're not going to be a slave to sin anymore. Jesus said, I'm going to die and I'm going to pay the debt. I will pay your debt so that you can live a new life. So that we can live a new life in Christ. That's why he died, to pay our debt to God, obviously. So I want to talk about the crucified life a little bit. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Let's read that again. It says, those who are Christ, notice the tense here, have crucified their life, okay, or their flesh. So it's past tense. Those who are Christ, present tense, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, it's an interesting thing about crucifixion. I've written them down for you in your notes there if you want to look at them. There's three things that I thought interesting as I pondered crucifixion. First is, when we crucify our flesh, it's a daily practice of rejecting our sinful desires. Why? To please Christ. So what does it mean to crucify our flesh? It's a daily practice of rejecting our sinful desires, those passions, in order to please Christ. And we need to do that daily. It's not just a one time, I did it back then and I'm still living in my flesh today. No. I did it back then and I daily choose to please Christ and not to live the old life that's on the cross. Two, crucifixion takes time. It's not a quick execution. It's not like the electric chair. You're gone. No, it's a slow, agonizing, painful death. Crucifixion takes time and it's a slow, painful death. If you've struggled with sin, it takes time and it's a slow, painful death, isn't it? And our flesh is not going to be truly, fully dead until we're with Christ. So crucifixion, I am crucified with Christ, is a daily decision and it is a slow, agonizing death from the point of conversion to the time that I meet the Lord. Three, you can't crucify yourself. You can't hop up on the cross, say, hand me a couple of nails, give me a hammer, I'm going to crucify myself. You can't do it. We can't crucify ourselves. We can only be crucified with Christ as we are identified with him. So crucifixion, to be crucified with Christ, is to be identified with him on the cross. We can't do it ourselves. We do it with Christ and in Christ. And when we are in Christ, then we are crucified with him. And Paul said, we make no provision for the flesh. Why? Because I'm crucified with him. We're not going to feed our flesh what it enjoys. Why? Because I'm crucified with him. Romans chapter 13, verse 14. The Apostle Paul says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So put on Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. We're putting on Christ. We're not going to put on our old nature, our fleshly nature. So when we came to faith in the crucified Christ, Our old nature was nailed securely to the cross. When you accepted Jesus, you said the sinner's prayer, you came to faith in Christ, your old nature was nailed securely to the cross. Now, here's the problem. I never thought I'd say this. You might never thought you heard a pastor say this before. But I think we have become far too familiar with Scripture. Far too familiar with Scripture. Yeah, what do I mean by that? It means we read the words of Scripture so, and we're so familiar with them, we don't really think about, really realize what it's saying. What is it really saying? We know the Scriptures and we read over them so fast that they don't permeate down deep inside of us. So close your eyes for a minute. And let me just quote this one scripture, Galatians 2:20. Most of us are familiar with it. I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Say that with me. I am crucified with Christ. Wow. Nevertheless, I live. Say that with me. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, but Christ lives within me. Let's say that together. Not I, but Christ lives within me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But not I, Christ lives within me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow. Just that one verse. If we could get just that one verse deep in our hearts, it would radically change our life. You can open your eyes now. And the New Testament is filled with hundreds of these verses. Hundreds of them. Do we realize what he is saying? It seems that although my old nature, that old man, is crucified with Christ on the cross, it seems that I continually hear his voice calling to me. Bring me down. Come get me off the cross. Take me down from here. Yeah. Have you heard his voice? Yeah, he calls to us. Come, bring me down. Get me off this cross. I don't want to be here anymore. It's painful up here. It's difficult up here. Give me a chance. Just give me a chance to live again with you. Bring me down. Let me walk with you a while. Let me live with you a while. Remember what it felt like. Remember the fun we had. Oh, bring me down. Let's live again. Yeah. That old man on the cross, he wants to come down. That's why to be crucified with Christ, it means I choose daily to keep him on the cross. He's not coming down. He's been crucified with Christ. So when we give in to temptation, we walk in the lust of the flesh, as is written for us here in our text, and we are now preventing the fruit of the Spirit from being developed and exhibited in our life the way God wants it to be exhibited. So how do we cast off this self-life? Let's look at Romans chapter 8. There's another couple of those verses we read over without really considering what is he saying to us. For the law, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Verse 4, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who what? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So my flesh, your flesh, was crucified with Christ on the cross. It was crucified. It was crucified in the person of Jesus as he was nailed to the cross, and that's what it means to be crucified with Christ. We say that. Oh, I'm crucified with Christ. What does that mean? It means my flesh, that old man, that old nature, it was crucified in the person of Christ on the cross. That's where he is. When we become one with Christ, we talk about that, being one with Christ, we come to the end of ourselves. Are you one with Christ? Then you no longer exist. Remember, I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives within me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of Man who loved me and gave himself for me. So when we become crucified with Christ, we come to an end of ourselves. It's not me anymore. I'm not living. Christ is living within me. Steve, he died on the cross. Steve, he's over there. He's crucified in the person of Christ on the cross. The old Steve. The new Steve is Christ living in me. It's Christ living through me. I'm identified now with Christ, not with that old man. Once again, Galatians 5:24, and those who are currently present tense Christ, those who are Christ have past tense crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Does that speak of your life today? Is that an accurate assessment of who you are as a child of God? Are you Christ? Yes. Then you past tense have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. It's there, nailed on the cross with Christ. This is what it means. We sang that song, I Surrender All. What does that mean? It means I am surrendering my life to be crucified, to come to an end of Steve, that Christ might live in me and through me. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19, another couple of those verses that just are so profound that we really think about. Now, all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So God has already reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given, another past tense, us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So now we are in Christ. God was in Christ reconciling us to himself, and now we're in Christ, and we are now given the ministry of reconciliation to the lost, but also we are now to reckon the world dead. And we are dead to the world. That's what happens. That's what it means to be in Christ. So here's what happens. Picture this. There's the cross. Well, there's the cross. And so I'm now nailed to the cross because, remember, I'm crucified with Christ. Christ is there in front of me. I'm nailed behind him. I'm between him and the cross. And he, Jesus, is taking the full wrath of God, paying the full penalty and the debt of God for my sin. So it's the cross, boom, me, Jesus, and he's taking all the brunt of the wrath so that I might live now a new life through his resurrected life. Because he has died and I have died with him and in him on the cross so that we both live in newness of life. F.B. Meyer illustrates this truth by telling this story. He tells a story about a woman who's married to this abusive, wicked, evil man. And he has now been convicted of his crimes and he's in prison for a lot of years. She divorces him. He has been so evil, so wicked, so abusive to her and to others. And he's finally paying the penalty for his crimes to society. So he's in jail for many years. She's divorced now. She meets this wonderful man. He's kind. He's loving and compassionate. And she marries this man. Her old husband, the old man, he gets out of jail. And what does he do? Right away, he wants to come and he wants to reunite himself with her. What's she going to do? I'll tell you what she's going to do. She's going to take her new husband, this wonderful man, and she's going to put him right in front and between her and the old man. And she's going to tell him, you don't have any right to me. You have no possession over me. You have no legal authority over me. And if you're going to do anything or get to me, you're going to have to come through my husband first, because I am married to this new man. This new man. The day of her deliverance was the day of her separation and divorce from the old man. So the key point here is what? We are the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And the tragedy is when we act like we're still married to the old man, when we are married to the new man, Jesus Christ. We're not to be married. We don't have anything to do with the old man anymore. He's gone. We have a new husband. We have been espoused to a new man. Wow. In Matthew chapter 16, you remember the dialogue between Jesus and Peter. And Jesus starts to tell him, you know, first he says, you know, who do you say that I am? Who do men say that I am? And then he starts to tell him about the fact that he's going to be, you know, dying here. He's going to Jerusalem. They're going to kill him. And it's like, Peter, he's like, not so, Lord. No way. He tells Peter, spare yourself. Don't do it. What did Jesus say to Peter? Yeah. Get thee behind me. So when the old man says the same thing to you and I, don't let me be crucified. Spare yourself the pain. What are we supposed to say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You don't savor the things of God, but the things of man. And that's what happens when the old man starts to call to you and I, bring me down. Let's party a little bit more. Let's have a little bit more fun. Let's indulge those feelings, those desires. Give in once again. Jesus not only frees us from the penalty of our sins, but he also frees us from the bondage of the self-life. It's not just about freeing us. We focus so much on Jesus died for my sins and everything's good between me and God. But much of the New Testament goes on to say we don't live the same way we used to live. We have died to that old man. We now live to this new man. We have a new life in Christ. And Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit so that through him we can put the flesh to death. You and I can't crucify ourselves. We can't put the flesh to death on our own. We can't crucify ourselves. We can't crucify the old man. Jesus does that, and he gives us the power to leave him up on the cross so that we can live for God. So Romans 8:13 says this, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. You will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Do we want to live? Sure we do. Then we put that old man, the deeds of the body, all the lust of the flesh with him, and we leave him on the cross. So, what do we do when the flesh wants to rise up and control us? Because that's what happens, right? The flesh wants to rise up and control us. So I'm cruising through Facebook last Friday, and I noticed this picture that Kiona put up on Revival's Facebook page. And I said, that's it. That's such a perfect illustration of exactly what I want to communicate on Sunday morning. Because here's the problem. The enemy comes to you and I, and he says, oh, remember the good old days. Oh, remember those wonderful feelings. Oh, let's party again. Take me down. Put me in your pocket. Let's go on a little adventure together. And what is our flesh? What is our carnal nature? What does our weak area say? I can't resist. I can't give in. I gotta go with him. I can't do this. I can't do this anymore, this battle, this fight. I can't make it. And Jesus says, yeah, you can, but only if you'll allow me to take the old man and put him back on the cross and leave him there. So when we allow Jesus to take the old man on the cross, it takes the T out of can't and says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? So this is the truth that Jesus is wanting to share with us and get us to understand. Is there something in our lives that needs to be nailed to the cross once again today? That's our question. Is there something in your life? Now, you know what? You may be the only one that knows it. Maybe somebody else knows it. But there are some things that nobody knows but you and Jesus. Is there something in your life that the Lord is saying, that needs to be put back on the cross again? Do you need some help? Let's look at the verses again. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So maybe it's time for us to take that list into the prayer closet and spend some time with the Lord. Lord, what is it that I've taken down from the cross and brought back, that needs to go back up there, that needs to be surrendered again, afresh to you? What is that? I don't know. But I know one thing. You do. The Holy Spirit is so faithful to speak to us, isn't he? He talks to us. He tells us what it is that he says, that needs to go back on the cross. That needs to be left there. Look at Romans 6 again, 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin may be done away with, that so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. God doesn't want us to be a slave to sin. The enemy will tell you, oh, you're going to always be my slave. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Spirit of God says. And that's not what the blood of Jesus Christ says. Verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Maybe we haven't fully died. Let's say that again together. For he that has died has been freed from sin. Yeah. Baptism. Wonderful symbol of this. Revival just had 3 people baptized yesterday. David, Paige, and our very own Zach here. And Wes talked to you guys. He gave a kind of a mini encapsulation of this very message to those that were baptized. Remember when you were baptized. I hope you've all been baptized. and you can remember it. If you can't remember it, perhaps you might want to consider being baptized again. So when we were baptized, here's the symbolism. We died with Christ. That's why we believe in immersion, fully going all the way under the water, so that when we come back up, we are living now, resurrected, a new life with Christ. I know what some of you are saying. They didn't leave me under the water long enough, right? Yeah. So I want you to imagine with me just a moment. Kind of put your imagination, flip your imagination switch on. Okay, you got your imagination hat on? Imagine that I went to the local mortuary and I borrowed a casket. And it's right here. I wheeled it right here. It's right there. Can you see it? Can you see it? It's right there. And I open it up, and inside the casket is a dead body. Ooh, close the casket. It stinks, right? Could you smell it? No? You're not imagining enough with me. Come on now. There's a casket. There's a dead body in it, and it stinks, and I just close the casket. Whew. You can switch your imagination switch off. Stop imagining. Now, let's say I took that casket and I wheeled it out of here into a wild bachelor party. Remember, I told you to stop imagining. Okay. Now we're just doing the illustration. So we take the casket. He's in a wild bachelor party. And they're drinking away. They're having a great time. They're partying away. They're all getting drunk. The casket's propped up on the wall. We open the door. The dead body's there. He sees them all. Is he tempted at all to take a drink? Why? He's dead. He's not tempted anymore. Some of the guys, these are guys, they're drunk. What are they doing? What we just found out is very popular with too many guys, even when they're not drunk. Right? Yeah. Locker room talk. Is he tempted to talk locker room talk? No. How come? He's dead, for Pete's sake. He's not tempted at all. Here's a curtain. Remember, I told you to turn your imagination off. Out from behind the curtain pops this woman dressed in very provocative clothing. You don't have your imagination going now. For Pete's sake, turn that thing off. So she comes out. She's very sexually suggestive. Is that dead guy even remotely interested in looking at her? No. How come? He's dead, for Pete's sake. He's dead. He's not tempted with all of these things of the flesh. Why? Because he's dead. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Romans 6:6-7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. So this is the same way when we encounter temptation. When we're dead to sin and alive to Christ, those things aren't a temptation that's so strong that we can't leave him nailed to the cross. That's what it means to walk in newness of life. That's what it means to be a new creature in Christ Jesus. So we need to stop making excuses. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I mean, because we all do it. We make excuses for our sin, for our flesh nature. I just have to do this. It's always been there. It's just me. I give up. I've tried. I've fought. I can't fight anymore. You are fighting a battle like that Japanese soldier that Jesus already won. You just need to walk in the newness and the freedom and the victory that Christ has given us. How do we do that? By identifying with Christ. We need to believe that God, by the power of His Holy Spirit, can transform us into new creatures. That's what the Bible says. That's one of those verses that go shoom by, and we become so familiar with that. Yeah, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. You know, I smile more now. What does that mean? You drive a little better? No, it doesn't. I've seen the way you drive. It means we're radically a different person. It means we're set free. We're a work in progress, but we're set free. Amen? So if I could have done a key point this morning while I was praying over my notes, I would have wrote this into your notes. You will not see spiritual fruit develop in your life if you continue to walk in the lusts of your flesh and the old man. So this wonderful series that we've done, 12 weeks now on the fruit of the Spirit, soil, 9 fruit of the Spirit, we're not going to see that in our life if we continue to walk in the flesh. That's what Paul is saying, and the Spirit of Jesus is trying to talk to us about here, is if we don't walk in newness of life, if we don't fully realize that we are crucified with Christ, what that means, spiritual fruit is going to be stymied in the development that the gardener of our heart and our soul wants to groom and grow within us. So, you might be here today, and you say, oh man, there are some things in my life that God has put his finger on. And if that's so, this message is specifically for you. I mean, God wants to set us free. He wants to do new things in our lives. He wants to give us victory. He didn't just save you to come here and fill space in a chair and sing songs to him. He saved us so that we could walk victoriously in newness of life. Amen? So let's stand and let's pray together. Oh Lord, we ask that you would radically change us. Lord, for those of us that have pulled down that old man, we've listened to his lies. We just right now declare in the name of Jesus, that old man, that old sin is back on the cross. Right now, if you have a sin that you've been struggling with, I want you to right now visually in your mind and just speak it out. I declare that sin is back on the cross. He's not going to live with me any longer. He's not my roommate. He's not my bed buddy. He's not my friend. Lord, I give myself afresh to you. Lord, I thank you that you have freed me. I place you between me and the old man. You are my defense. You are my righteousness. You are my all in all. And Lord, I thank you that I stand perfect and perfected as a beautiful bride in Christ Jesus. I'm yours. You're mine. Lord, we just right now put to death the deeds of the flesh, that we might walk in newness of life and see the fruit of your Spirit grow from the garden of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.